What do you do for Christ each day? A faithful Christian said. And I replied, I drive a truck and fill the stores with bread. He said, I know of your bread route, but that is not the thing. I mean, what do you do each day for Jesus Christ the King? I said, but I believe a man can work in such a way that selling bread is work for Christ, a sacrament each day. Once more the man inquired, but sir, if this is not unfair, what do you do for Christ each day, like witnessing and prayer? I said, work is my best witness, and selling bread to them is like a prayer in Jesus' name. I drive the truck for him. The Sundays through the summer, we're exploring the relationship between Jesus and women whose lives were transformed by Jesus. Some are well known by name, others remain anonymous. Today we come to a lady with two names, Tabitha in Aramaic and Dorcas in Greek. I'm going to call her Tabitha because that's what her parents called her. Dorcas was her name in Greek. We don't believe she actually met Jesus, but her life was clearly transformed by Jesus. And I hope you'll be inspired and encouraged by her example. I want us to consider three things about her, and you should have got an outline so you know where we're going. I want us to look at her legacy, her loss, and her Lord. First of all, Tabitha's legacy. Acts chapter 9, verse 36. In Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. That's about all we know about Tabitha. Not a lot. Her reputation was made from something as simple as sewing clothing for the poor. It could just as easily have been driving the bread truck or cooking. It seems this was her one talent. Not particularly remarkable, you might think. And yet Tabitha surpasses every other woman in the whole Bible. Because she is the only woman in the whole of the Bible who is called a disciple of Jesus. Do you find that surprising? We might never have considered sewing an important gift to, say, teaching or evangelism or prophecy. But the fact is, she's the only one who's actually called a disciple. That should teach us, if nothing less, to not despise the gift of helps or undervalue practical serving. I saw one survey in the States which suggested that about 10% of Christians have a passion and a clear gifting in evangelism, but 90% feel that they are enthused by serving in some way. Tabitha was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. She opened her heart to Jesus and that changed everything. That word disciple means a learner, a follower, and that's what became her motivation in sewing clothes. She didn't wake up in the morning thinking, oh, I've got to sew some more clothes. She woke up in the morning saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me this gift. I'm going to use it today for you. Can you do that? Can you use your gift for Jesus? That's the reason I believe that Tabitha was, quote, always doing good and helping the poor. Because she was following the example of Jesus, following the prompting of Jesus, and doing good and helping those for Jesus. She could sew, and she sewed to the best of her ability. She was sewing for Jesus. Can you do that? What are you good at? What do you enjoy doing? What energizes you? What are you passionate about? Well, are you channeling that gifting or that talent or that passion for Jesus? Are you doing it for Jesus? It can be as simple as sewing or baking or fixing or driving. Because our faith is expressed best in our actions, not our words. And the highest calling in Christian ministry is to care in practical ways for those who are most vulnerable, especially widows and orphans. You know, in previous generations, towns like Joppa would have had a higher proportion of widows than towns that were further inland. There was no air sea rescue in those days, no lifeboats. A significant proportion of the men would be fishermen, merchant seamen, naval seamen, and a significant proportion of them would be shipwrecked and drowned. And their wives and children would have lost not only their husbands and fathers, but their income. That's why there would have been lots of widows in Joppa. And that's why the Lord instructs his people, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. James 1:27. That's why I'm pleased our mission partner in July is Umthombo. Umthombo is a charity working in South Africa among homeless street children and orphans. That's the reason one or two of us are going to Uganda in a couple of weeks' time to help dig that well and extend a school and teach Christianity Explored in the evenings to the local church leaders. And that's why we're really encouraging you to be part of that project that will directly benefit that community in Uganda by joining us at Sand Lake Park next Saturday. We're going to have some fun, but we're also going to raise some money. As a church, we rightly place an emphasis on evangelism and mission. That's why I'm really excited that we're involved in the Reading Festival each year. But we also place an emphasis on supporting compassion projects, mercy projects, justice projects. Because people don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. And if you want to influence people for Jesus, as Tabitha clearly did, then use your gift to serve them, willingly and joyfully. And when that surprises them, and they ask you why, you can tell them. Peter says, always be ready to give an explanation of the hope that is within you, with gentleness and reverence. We don't always have to initiate the evangelistic conversation, but we do need to be ready to explain why we're doing what we're doing. And I suggest the only motive we need is that we're doing it for Jesus. Many of the women, the widows of Joppa, were walking around in clothes made by Tabitha. I doubt very much whether there was a label in the back, because I'm sure Tabitha was not the kind of lady who put made by Tabitha. They weren't going around with Armani or Polo, but it was Tabitha made this. Tabitha made this one. She was a woman of influence because she used the gift she had to serve Jesus. She did what she was good at, and God got the glory. She realized her potential. My question is, are you? The legacy of Tabitha was sowing for Jesus. What will your legacy be? The legacy of Tabitha. Secondly, notice the loss of Tabitha, verses 36 to 39. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in the upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please, come at once." Peter went with them. And when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. This was a sudden blow. They felt the loss of Tabitha. But someone remembered Peter was down the road, 10 miles away, and they sent a couple of guys to pick him up because they believed Peter could help. They weren't asking him to come and look at the clothes that Tabitha had made. So if we've already learnt the lesson that Tabitha used the gift she had to serve Jesus, what do we learn from Peter? Well, there is one ability that Peter displayed here that God covets among each one of us. I wonder what ability you think that is. Not sociability, compatibility, accountability, adaptability, or even reliability. The greatest ability is availability. Because ability without availability is of no value at all. Someone said, ability without availability is a liability. Think about it. Ability, a God-given gift, without availability is a liability. Availability means placing oneself totally, absolutely, unconditionally, unreservedly at God's disposal to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, wherever he wants. In us, through us, with us, for us, whenever he chooses. Peter was able, he'd been appointed an apostle, but he was secondly available. He didn't say, I can see you next week. Not available today, sorry. He was available. He went straight away, it says. And he entered the room where they laid her, and the weeping widows, not the weeping willows, the weeping widows surrounded him, and they showed him the clothes that Tabitha had made. Tabitha was irreplaceable. She was unique. She was a one of a kind, and they deeply missed her. She was irreplaceable, but she was not indispensable. And not the same. When I became a minister a few years ago, my motivation was to make myself redundant, to win people to Christ, build them in the faith, send them to do the same, so that they can win people to Christ, build them in the faith, and send them to do the same, so that I can become redundant. We're born to reproduce. The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, and the things you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who'll be able to be qualified to teach others. If we discount the fifth generation as Jesus, Jesus led Paul to himself, but then it says Paul is training Timothy to entrust the witness to reliable men, people, who are qualified to teach others. Four generations in one verse. That's how the apostle obeyed Jesus' instruction to make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. If we're more dependent on Francis or Colin or Suzanne or Paul or Tim than we were a year or two or 3 years ago, then we're not really following Jesus' instructions. Being indispensable is not the same thing as being irreplaceable. There was only one Tabitha, but she was a disciple, it says, of Jesus. And I believe that means that she was training other women to sow for the poor. If after she died, they put a memorial in the church to say to Tabitha, and they shut down the caring for the poor and the orphans and the widows, then something had gone wrong. I believe that she was motivating other women and men to sew and make clothes for the poor. Yes, she was irreplaceable, but she was not indispensable. That surely would be the greatest legacy of Tabitha, to see others following in her example. The legacy of Tabitha, the loss of Tabitha, but that's not going to happen yet, because, thirdly, we see the Lord of Tabitha. Peter sent them all out of the room. He got down on his knees and he prayed. And turning to the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. And then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. A good disciple follows their master, and that's what Peter did. Jesus instructed his disciples, "Everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher." And there comes a day when we have to put into practice what we have learnt from those who have nurtured us in our faith, because they will not be around forever. And we must put it into practice so that others will learn from us what we have learnt from others. And in these verses we see Peter, very simply, copies what the Lord did in a similar situation. Like Jesus, as we saw in Mark 5, when Jesus raised this little girl back to life, Peter asked everyone to leave the room. You may not have understood why, but this is what Jesus did, so we do it Jesus' way. He took her by the hand, and he said, "Tabitha, cum." Almost the same words that Jesus said. Jesus said, "Talitha, cum," meaning, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Peter said, "Tabitha, cum." "Tabitha, I say to you, get up." And like Jesus, God answered Peter's prayer, and he raised Tabitha from the dead. You know, Tabitha is unique in a second way. There are only 7 people in the whole of the Bible who are raised from the dead. And Tabitha is the only adult woman. And notice the effect. Many came to believe in the Lord as a result. They didn't come to believe in Peter or Tabitha. They came to believe in the Lord. Because the life and the death and the resuscitation of Tabitha helped spread the good news of the life, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the story of Moses and his calling to serve and lead his people, we read that God said to Moses, "What do you have in your hand?" And paraphrasing this text, well, Moses says, "A rod." But paraphrasing the text, the Lord says, "Go and work with that rod, and you will be my servant." If God had said the same thing to Tabitha, what would she have said? "I have a needle and a thread, Lord." And he would have shown her how these were precisely the instruments with which she could serve him. So, let me close with a question. What do you hold in your hand this morning? If God could use something like a stick of wood in the hand of Moses, or as something as basic as a needle in the hands of Tabitha, what on earth could he do with what's in your hands? What gifts has he entrusted to you? What talents? What abilities? And what is he calling you to do with them? A little later after this encounter, Peter wrote a letter to the church. And I believe in these words, he may have had Tabitha in mind when he wrote, quote, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." Tabitha began a movement that has spread well beyond the Joppa region. She has inspired millions of women and men to use whatever gifts they have received to serve others. You only have to think of Compassion or Tear Fund. They're in that direct line of the family tree of Tabitha. She's inspired millions to use whatever gifts they have received to serve others. May God inspire you to use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace.